Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Listen, all you New Yorkers.
You see?
Taxi.
Okay, now we're looking around.
This is the 77 WABC minicast.
This is Rudy Giuliani coming to you live from Cromwell, Connecticut. Very close to the place where the University of Connecticut is, and now world champions in the NCAA. How many times now, Ted?
I believe back-to-back, but all-time, yeah,
They've won back in the past a couple of times. They have at least four, right?
Yeah, they're a blue blood. They're officially a blue blood program.
Well, day after the eclipse, I'm still coming down from it, I must say, and I understand. I had a conversation, a really, really good one, with Sid this morning. And I can understand the disappointment of some who watched the partial eclipse, particularly if they had, if it wasn't made clear to them that it was very, very different than the full or total solar eclipse. Not that, you know, it's almost a question of expectations. Yesterday, you might remember, we had on the show a gentleman who called from Long Island, and he was telling us how beautiful it was watching it, I gather, by the shore, and including how cold it got and some of the animals were disturbed and the change in the light available. So he evaluated without a preconception. Without a preconception, partial eclipse is quite interesting. It really, really is interesting. However, now, having seen a solar eclipse, it's understated in terms of what happens and the feelings it evokes and the thoughts that it creates, and you can see how scientists and people interested in the sun, the moon, the stars, the astronomy, you can see how this drove a great deal of our knowledge of space. There's a picture, for example, on many front covers, a beautiful picture of the moon at the peak of totality. And the picture is quite beautiful. It does not, however, first of all, it doesn't capture actually the beauty of what, if you tune in at 8 o'clock tonight, you'll see on our show that Ted was able to video. And then some of the rest of us were able to take individual shots. And I would say a number of them are more beautiful than this. None of it, however, compares to seeing it live. There's something extraordinary watching the sun or the moon, because at this point, you, as an amateur, aren't aware which is it, watching the sun or the moon go on fire. And that's what it looks like. Then it has a ring around it of gold, and my goodness, it was just unbelievable and fabulous. But here's the part about it that really has to be considered very, very seriously when we say that the eclipse was greater than expected, particularly in the area of totality. It dramatically underscored how well planned, to the fraction of a second, this universe is. The beginning of the eclipse was precisely at the second, and I got down to like the tenth of a second, and then it played out exactly like that, which means many years ago someone knew this was going to happen. We are talking about eclipses where we have exactly that timeline. And we're going to have it in August of 2026. That's going to be in Greenland and in Ireland.
Iceland.
Oh, I'm sorry. Greenland and Iceland. Too bad. I'd like to go to Ireland. But I've been to Iceland, too, though. I really liked Iceland. Just reverse it. Greenland has ice and Iceland has grass. August 2nd, 2027. It's going to be over the pyramids in Egypt. And the totality is going to be 6 minutes. The totality here ranges between 3 and 4 minutes. And just to give you an idea of how rare it is, the next in the continental, or actually not even continental United States, but official United States, will be in March 30th of 2033. And the next one in New Hampshire, where we were, will be May 1st, 2073. And I bet right now you could go look at when it's going to, the partial eclipse is going to start, the total eclipse is going to start, the total eclipse will be over. The point I'm making is this is a planned universe. Don't let any Marxist pig who is an ignorant fool tell you this is all accidental. You know, the Big Bang just happened. Boom, bang! From nowhere it went. Bang! If this happened on schedule, how the hell did the Big Bang just happen?
On schedule.
Now, it raises what's behind it. It also raises the question, which destroys the Marxist philosophically, which is, you don't know everything. If you want my major quick observation in the study that I'm doing with what failed higher education in the United States, which largely means the Ivy League schools and how they affected other schools, it's they thought they knew everything. They fell into the Marx orbit that he is smarter than God, and that God is used to make you subjected to someone smarter than you. And he saw himself for a while as Satan, who could overthrow God. So I'm going to tell you that this solar eclipse, I bet you, brings a lot of people back to religion and to a belief in God, because it doesn't happen without, there is a plan, as I say. If there's a plan, communism falls apart. We were in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, and it won't be back there, I said, until 2079. And Ted,
We're planning on being there, Mayor, in 2079. So we got some time, but we want to start planning ahead of, right? Like, even with all the preparations we did, we could always use more.
Oh, we can improve.
Prep time.
We did a great job. Our team, Dr. Maria and Rob, and Stephen, and Raleigh the dog.
Our dog
who made a very, very important contribution by whimpering.
Yeah.
About 8 or 10 minutes before the total eclipse.
Your audience may have heard him whimpering on the air.
And then we showed him walking around.
And we have video of that. We'll repost some of that. So we were in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, not to be confused with Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we were we want a quick shout out to Chief Mark and his wife Sandy, the closest. They were so good to us. And then, of course, Adam and Nicole at the Full Send Bar and Grill
up there in
Pittsburgh. Check it out.
When you're there, go there. You have excellent food, excellent, of course, libations. And it's even without a full solar eclipse, it's a beautiful view of the valley. Absolutely beautiful.
That's right. And, of course, a quick shout-out to Nick and Emily Chakra for all their help, and Dr. Maria and her family, always so welcoming to all of us when we're in the Granite State, New Hampshire.
Well, I also should say, you want to go driving up from Manchester to roughly the Canadian border, because we went to the town right before the border. In fact, we drove to the highest point Canadian border just to see if we could catch a couple of migrants. But we were in our undercover gear. Rob tried to tackle one, but he got away, right, Rob?
Yeah.
No, we went to the border just to see this whole situation. But this is not the border where they actually come over. The border they come over is actually south of it, and it sort of brings together Vermont, Canada, and New Hampshire, and it has areas more amenable to just walking in, and a highway nearby so that if you do walk in, one of your connections can pick you up.
That's right.
And it was described to us, and we'll put some of that on over the next week. It was described to us by them. Maybe we'll go back there and do a special on it.